been searching for spring. I have not been able to find it. And it's not over with yet, Neil. I thought he was had already heard enough, and he's leaving. Couldn't find all spring. I was listening to Don's lesson. Shows you how far we deteriorated. I tell you, I started school, and there's others in this auditorium. I'm not the only one. 1946. 47, and a lot of things we didn't have problems with today. Gender bathroom, we didn't have no problem with the bathroom. We went out the front doors, the girls went to the right, the boys went to the left, to the woods, you know. We didn't have no bathroom, no one running water. The water was from a well, had a bucket out there. It had 8 rolls in it, and each roll was a class, 1 through 8. When you got to 8th grade, you got on the bus and went to Morgantown to high school. I tell you this, unless you, a lot of you won't believe this, but the way we started the school day off, the teacher would come in and do a pledge of allegiance. We'd have flagpoles up in the corner over here. We all do the pledge of allegiance. She would read a few verses from the Bible, and then we'd have prayer. And we started a class. Shows you how far we've come. We got some teachers in here right now that taught class today, and I dare say none of them started class off that way today. Then we came to Bowling Green. I went to school there where the post office is. Used to be a school there. We had inside bathrooms then. And sometime they had a PA system. They would play the Star Spangled Banner, or we do the Pledge of Allegiance over the intercom. The person, whoever's at the office, would do it. And then the rest of us would do it. We don't do that no more. I dare say my grandkids ever pledged allegiance to the flag inside the school, or ever heard the scripture read inside the school, or ever prayed inside the school. That's maybe the reason society is getting down so far. We're in Revelation, the 3rd chapter. Dale called me. I talked to Dale yesterday. He said, where are you getting in Revelation? I studied ahead. And I said, have you studied Laodicea? I said, yeah. And I said, well, we made it through a couple slides. See, first thing out of his mouth, he said, did Rose keep you from going further? I said, yeah, I'm going to blame it on Rose. It's all Rose's fault. So when he gets back, he thinks he'll probably be back a week from tonight. He's supposed to take 2 weeks off. It's been 1 week today. So, but he's getting along okay, he said. In Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, it says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you was cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. In verse 17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are rich, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I know your work. Let's see if I can get that. Whoops. Get that up. Is that on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's doing the talking here? Besides me. Well, in the writing here. Who's saying, I know your works?
It's Jesus.
Yes. The one that said, amen, the faithful and true witness. The beginning of creation, how he's listed in the 14th verse. Not that he was created, but he was there when everything was made, I think is what he's referring to. He says, I know, talk about his church, I know your works. Notice that no compliment was given about this congregation. That's sad. You can't find something in a whole congregation that you would compliment them about. These are works they are wishing he did not know, that Jesus did not know, but he knew about them. He knew their works. He said, evidently the main thirst of their effort was toward material wealth. The city was wealthy. The church was wealthy. Because he says in verse 17, I am rich, having become wealthy, and have need of nothing. That's including you too. Amen. Faithful and true witness. Yes, ma'am. Well, it helps not to be wealthy, because that's one of the problems we're going to see later on. It has a tendency to draw you away, and I agree with you. He says, I am rich, having become wealthy, and have need of nothing. You see anything strange in that verse?
I told you I want to get rid of the computer. I almost got rid of it. Knocked it over.
Doug, I swear if I'd done that intentionally. Yes. Yes. Most likely, they did not pay heed to their true spiritual needs because of their material comfort and personal independence. And that's the trouble what wealth does. I think Satan sometimes uses wealth and easy life, and we've had it in this country for the last 50 years, and we've become lax and say, oh, look what I got. Well, I don't need you, God. I don't need you, Jesus. And that's one of the problems. Yes. Yes, Nathan. But they don't give God the credit for doing that. You know, so that makes it wrong. And I think, you know, God will allow us, but they took the idea, look what I've done. I've done this, not you, God. All blessings are from God, you know, everything. They was content with their food and raiment, which they should be, but here's the problem. Man don't live just by that. You can't get along without God's word. And they was trying to do this in Luke, the fourth chapter. And I'm not going to take time to read a lot of these verses because we're not going to do that. But attaining spiritual riches involves the willingness to sacrifice ourselves for himself. And such wealth, and I wonder why that's not there, but it's not. In other words, I think one of the points trying to make here, we have to work for spiritual wealth just as probably hard or not harder than we do physical wealth, you know. And I don't think it's saying that physical wealth is wrong, but it definitely can be. The temptation is there, and it's harder to you live with it than maybe a lot of times what we want to give credit for. Had they been choked by the cares and riches of the world, Well, I don't know. Were they measuring God's favor on them by their material blessing? Well, God must have done this. You know, so I must be a pretty good guy because I got money. You know? Well, probably not. They did not acknowledge God in their statement of wealth. I think we should. You blessed me, God. I want to thank you for blessing me like you have. But it's so easy when we got so much to get the big center out of the way and look at it in the wrong way. And that's what we got to get. I'm going to read a few verses right here. They would do well if they review the exhortation delivered to Timothy. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, I'm going to look at about 3 verses, and this will probably be the only time I'll be able to look at some of these verses. The rest of them, I'll just tell you what they are, and you'll have a look at them after class, because I'm going to try to get through Laodicea so Rose does not get blamed for it again. Okay? The 9th verse, but those who desire, you know, that's where it is. We can get our desire in the wrong place. You ever seen anybody that they call them workaholic. They just have a desire. Those who desire to be rich falls into temptation. So, in other words, you can let that be your God. But if you do, you're going to have a problem. But those who desire to be rich falls into temptation and a snare and to many foolish and harmful lusts. That's the problem, some of the problems, if we go after that. In verse 10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. So I think we can work, make a living, God expects to it, but we don't have to let that be our first priority in life. What do you mean? I mean, well, when 5 o'clock gets here, I need to go home to my wife and family. And I don't need to work for another 2 hours to make a sale or commission or something like that. See, that's where the temptation comes in there. For when you have the love of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith. If pursuing riches strays us from faith, then we've got problems. We need to stop and take inventory every once in a while. Greediness, and piercing themselves through with many sorrow. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness and godliness. So I think when I am making a living, and I think God expects us to live off the fruit of our labor, I need to do this with God in mind. You know? And if we do that, then we won't have problems like this church here is doing. Thou art lukewarm. We covered some of this the last time. Half-hearted, limp, always ready to compromise, indifferent, lifeless, that we all do we're all very good folks here at Southside, so we don't need anything. We have arrived. If we approach visitors from coming in the door like that, our growth days will be over with. You know? Oh, we're high and mighty, better than anybody that can come in the door. All right, we're done. We can't do that. You know, that will never be the way of life. I remember when I look at this, the biggest fish I ever caught in my life was a big catfish. And I got home and I held that thing up about like this. I know you ain't never caught a fish that big, Ken, but I have. And it touched the ground. But I was up on the spillway. It was on a boat up on the spillway. And it's before your cell phone. This is before cell phones ever came about. But I had somebody with me, and it was just like a big old catfish. It don't fight like bass or anything else. You know, it's just a big old glob, what it was. And I got up to the water. I said, you got to get a net and get him in. I was on an ultra-light outfit, and I said, I'll never get him in the swim. And it was just lifeless. It wasn't fighting. It was just laying there on top of the water. I got him in the boat. Still, I had bent him up and put him in the well. Now, this is no fish story. I know where I'm at, Kenny. Bend him up, put him, but he was lifeless, you know, and everything. That does happen. Happened once in my lifetime. Gary's sitting back there looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. But Gary's been fishing with me before, too. You can't do anything with such limp, self-satisfied people. What Jesus is saying. If we get in that situation, well, we arrived. We got 80 people here Sunday, you know, that's okay. We started off with 12. We come a long way. It's time to sit back and reap the labor of our work. We got a nice building. Got a lot of nice people in here. When the heathen, with the heathen, the cold, you could probably do something. He said, I wish you was cold. If they was cold, we would sit down and teach them this word right here and maybe convert them. But with sincere, humble Christians, we can labor with them too in the vineyard and with joy, and it's a blessing, and accomplish something, you know. But they were all in such very good folks here at Laodicea, and people, you can't do nothing. Jesus said, you think you arrive and it doesn't work that way. Even Christ can't stand them. A emotion not seen in him anywhere else in the Bible we see against this people right here. He's not grieved with them. Not angry with them. He's totally disgusted with them. Not slightly disgusted, but thoroughly disgusted with them. Is how that I read this coming about. I will vomit you out of my mouth. We've all been so sick that we've done that. The last couple years, I've been sick with the flu once and flu poison once. And it's not very nice, but I laid in the bathroom just hugging the John. I was totally disgusted with what I got in, had in me. The city did not see itself as poor. Most people do not. You know, it's kind of funny. I was out at the mall yesterday. It's hard for people to see their own mistakes or their own sins. I can see my sin in you and recognize it, but I struggle with seeing it in myself. You know? I see somebody lose their temper, you know, and say, man, that sure is bad. That's nasty. But when I lose my temper, I don't see it being that bad or nasty. But it's just as nasty on me as it is on the next person. You know. But Jesus finds nothing to commend them for. That's in a sad situation. We want to stay away from it. Laodicea was a place. Zeus. Where they had idol worship. And really, at one time or another, it must have been pretty good church or type of church that Paul was concerned about. Because in Colossians, the second chapter, and then in the fourth chapter, Paul, and maybe it just because this was the closest one to Laodicea, Paul sent them or say a few words that he was concerned about them. He was praying for them and looking for them. I remember reading that, but I forgot what it says about it. But anyway, Paul refers to them. So Jesus is saying, as a faithful and true witness, we've seen that in the verse chapter 1, Jesus brings accusing testimony that contradicts the church ideal of boasting of what they are. I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. And the witness said, no, that's not true. You can't see what you have in need of. And that's human nature in that. You ever had anybody just jump on you and put their finger right at you and just do it like that, you know? And you sitting there thinking, I wish you'd take that finger and turn right around and point it back to the person who is on, you know? It's hard. Yes, ma'am? Yeah, I think so. Paul wrote to him and left me that idea. Yes. That's what riches does for you. Yeah. You sure can. Yes. And he will. He will. Jesus was the one who began God's creation, and he keeps all things according to John, and only God through his Son rules over the creation order and the universe. And it's he that we will stand before in the judgment and give account for what we have done. So Jesus is there, he's aware of it, and he knows about it, and we'll answer to him. Yes, Freddie. Tearing my old ones down, huh?
I'm going to build a bigger barn. And he said, well, guess what? Your son's going to be required today.
Yeah, that's very true. We need to keep that in mind. The water from the nearby river Lysis, or however you pronounce that, it was muddy. It was undrinkable water, so they had to get water from a hot spring, which was about 4 or 5 miles down. And what they did, they canaled that water in, and then time it got there to the city, it was lukewarm. And anything lukewarm, it wasn't hot, it wasn't cold. And so we recognize what from Larry's sermon. Where's Larry at? Oh, there he is. I look in your usual place. Well, I almost marked you not in here, and I know I talked to you. Larry's sermon Sunday, and by the way, I'll say this again. It's two of the finest lessons that we had Sunday that probably was preaching Bowling Green. Let that be a warning to you, Nate, since you go on this Sunday. They were self-satisfied in their attitude and disposition. They was rich materially, but poor spiritually. They could see physically, but was blind spiritually. God wants them to be able to see what matters. Well, we got these letters here, so Southside can recognize it and see the problem too. So we don't become that away. Evidently, it's a chance we could, or you wouldn't be warning us against it. Yes, Gary?
That's a good example to just show you what pride, being proud of life.
Exactly right. Exactly right. We can get it out of focus. You know, if you have money, and there's a lot of good Christians have money, then you need to use it for the Lord's service, you know. We can't let that get to the point that that's our God and I'll use it all myself and not use it any of for God. You know, if he did bless us that way, then that's just a slap in the face. God finds folks disgusting who only wants to give to get by. He knows if we are serving him. Now, you can do this sometime in school. I'm sorry, school teachers. But you can get by. I'm living proof of it. You know, you can just barely get by. Or just do what you have to get by. But not in the kingdom. They think that they have it all. But they need so much more, as we see in 17 and 19. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, verse 18, that you may be rich, and a white garment that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness might not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. He's putting them in language that they understand. I counsel thee. That used to be a good expression of Brother Laws. He said, we're living in the refining period. God refines all the purities out of our lives here in this life so that we be pure and stand before God in judgment. By my gold, tried by far. That's what he means. He means purified. You know, you can get fool's gold. And I was going to tell you a story about the lost Dutchman gold mine, but I can't do it. I don't have time. That clock is moving fast on me again. I tell you, that's the beatingest thing. That clock, every time I get up here, it starts going fast. You remember Smyrna? They was poor, but they was rich in spiritually, so they're going to be all right. And he talks about white raiment, you know. And this is another temptation they had. You remember we said they had the luxury black wool, and it covered their body, but they left their naked or their soul shamefully exposed. This should be in white raiment. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. They were familiar with this because they used that hot spring to make ointment for eyes, and evidently it helped. But here he's talking about the truth. This is what they needed, and they needed the truth. And if we ever get that away, we can say the same thing. I got two or three scriptures here. I'm not going to take time to read it because that clock's malfunctioning back there. 1 John, the first chapter, verse 6 says, if we walk in darkness, we do not know, and we do not the truth. And that's the point that Laodicea got to. I'm not going to look at that. Oh, they might hear amen. If they would hear amen and the faithful true one, then they could see. But they not listening to Jesus. Therefore, they cannot see. Well, I'm going to go ahead and try to get through this. I got Rose's feeling within mine. But they had an attitude that they did not need no help. They was in spiritual run, and they would not accept no assisting, and they was not going to be helped. As we bring the lesson to a close, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. As many as I love. Just like any father will chasten his children because he loves them. He was disgusted with them, but he still loved them. That's God. But that love will continue only if they were zealous and repent. Jesus has been shut out of the hearts of the members there at Laodicea. No communication exists between him and the church. It's his church. They were not communicating with him. They could be restored if they would open the door of their hearts by repentance. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the doors, I will come into him and dine or have fellowship with him and he with me. But we do that on his terms, not our terms. So God canceled us. It's not fool's gold that we get from God. It's refined, it's truth, and it's pure. And that's what he expects us to be. Clothed with white raiment, and then we are righteous saints. That's what he expects of us. They need to open their eyes. How you open your eyes? You study. Study. And then when you had got done studying, you go and study some more. Jesus has been shut out of the hearts of the member of Laodicea. We can't allow that to happen here at Southside. No communication exists between him and the church. We can't allow that. He's in the midst of us right tonight. He's a spirit. He's present with us. We are his church. And he expects us to act like it. He was present with them too. To him who overcomes. Now this will give you a reason why. I will grant to sit with me and my throne, and I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Just like I did, you do, we get the same word. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. He closes every lesson like that. He who overcomes, those who would overcome will sit with Christ on the throne of God. That's the reason that we ought to do it. Hearing and open is man's responsibility. I was talking to a person yesterday, and he says salvation is not conditional. I said, you don't read the Bible that I read. He said, well, everything's by the grace of God. I have to accept God's grace. God's love and God's grace is manifest here. I have to hear it. I have to open my heart. And it's man's responsibility to do that. The Christian reward is conditional. Salvation is conditional upon us doing what the Lord tells us to do. Upon us passing through the trials just like Christ did. That's what the Bible teaches. Christ is in the midst of his churches. The evil in these churches must be recognized and avoided today. The leader of this congregations are on guard, and they need to know about this and put a stop to it before it even happened. Just as meaningful for us today as it was in that day. We can become just like the church of Laodicea. The Laodicea, the church was closed door, closed-minded. They didn't ask God what he wanted to do or what he thought about it. They would not let Christ come in to be in there. It is one way to chasten, but not to the point of to discourage us. If we do wrong and we rebel and sin, we can expect God to chastise us and to correct us. The church of Laodicea had everything it needed except Christ. He was on the outside looking in to the entrance. And if we respond, he is ready and promised to have fellowship with us. And this is my last slide. He has piercing eyes and flames. He hears and he knows. He is a spirit. And he knows what the churches are doing, so we need to be on guard of that. This is my last point. The people standing in the hallway, you can come in right after this. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching the doctrine, the commandments of men. We get to that point, we're not the Lord's church. Are many who will talk about how they love God. many even comes to church on Sunday and say, oh, we love God. I was with a group yesterday. Every one of them went to a denomination on Sunday, and they was professing yesterday that they love God. God does not want lip service. He wants full devoted service. He wants a life of service. Thank you very much. We'll look at the fourth chapter Sunday. I'm going to leave this for the song leaders. You laying the same?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, the other day I lost there. I went right there. It took me, there it is right there. It took me, it seemed like 5 minutes to find it. So.
All right, you're good.